show by Dr. Seuss that was converted into a show for Dr. Seuss back in 1966. And there's been several remakes, but I can remember as a kid getting excited about Whoville and the Grinch and all of those things. And now as I'm an adult, and now as I deal with Christmas, one of the things that I've learned is that every year I struggle with the Grinch. Even though that is a cartoon, the truth is, people, every year the Grinch is trying to take away from you and me and the children the real meaning of Christmas. He is really trying. Every year I have to go back and look inward and try to get my heart right so that I understand what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the very first Grinch. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at these verses about the very first Grinch. And I don't know about you, maybe this year the Grinch is working overtime trying to take from you the joy of Christmas. And my hope and my prayer is that maybe you won't let him do that. So let's look at it beginning in verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Let me just make a few comments. One of the things I want the children to know and I want you to understand is the wise men, the Magi. They weren't there at the stable. As a matter of fact, we have them placed over here because they are on a journey of over 1,000 miles to get there. And so we find in this passage that the Magi are coming to Jerusalem and they're trying to find this King of Kings. And then look what it says. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now the interesting thing about Jesus' birth, we need to understand, is that it was prophesied by the prophet Micah that actually the Savior of the world, the Messiah, was going to be born in Bethlehem. It wasn't an accident. This was talked about before Jesus was ever born. And these Magi come trying to find where this king, this child king, is going to be born. And we find that they go to the most logical place. They go to Jerusalem. And that's where we find they ask the king. It says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You see, King Herod is the first Grinch. And he wanted to stop Christmas. He did not want Christmas to happen. And by that, I'm just simply saying he did not want Christ to be born. He was intimidated by this king. And so in this story, I think we find four principles that we can live that will help us keep the Christmas spirit when the Grinch is trying to take it from us. So the first point I want you to see is this. Determined to worship Jesus. One of the things I love about these magi was their determination to worship this king, this child king. They traveled more than likely a very long distance. We don't know exactly where they came from. They came from the east, but most think that it was about 1,000 miles. Now, I know we always have three, but we don't really know how many magi came to worship the king. The reason they get the number three is because there were three gifts that were brought to the king. But we know that they came a long way. We don't know if they came on camels or donkeys. We don't know. But we do know this. These guys were determined to worship Jesus Christ. And you've got to understand something. Worship doesn't just happen. You have to be determined to worship the king. Now, King Herod, you need to know a little about the Grinch, because he really was a Grinch. King Herod was a very, political guy. He was not a Jew. He was appointed by the Romans to run the government in that area. But he wasn't a Jew, but he ruled the Jews. So he took a Jewish wife in hopes that that would appease the Jews. Now, they despised Rome, and they didn't like King Herod. You need to understand that Herod wasn't just one guy. There are several Herods in the New Testament. It was a title of a person who was to lead in a political way. There's Herod Antipas, and then there's Herod the Great. But Herod the Great is who we're talking about, and he had been appointed to keep peace in Jerusalem and that part of the world. But he is a Grinch. He was not a good guy. The first thing you need to know about him is that he was a politician, and he would do anything to make them like him. For instance, he reconstructed the temple. For instance, he cut their taxes. He was doing things to try to keep his political position. He wanted them to be happy. He would feed the poor. Kind of reminds me of politicians today. Did he really care? Absolutely not. He was intimidated by this king that these magi inquired about. Another thing about he wasn't only just political, he was a murderer. As a matter of fact, he murdered his wife because he started getting suspicious of her wanting his kingdom. He murdered three of his own sons. He murdered his wife's mother. He was a vicious guy, and that's bad. But guess what else he did? He knew that most people didn't like him. He knew that he was not the most favorite person. And if you read in history, he had bad health, and so he knew he was dying. And, you know, one of the worst things for a guy that has an egomaniac is that if he would die, nobody cried. So you know what he really did? He arrested the dignitaries of Jerusalem. He knew he was dying. He had them arrested, and he gave orders at the moment of his death. These dignitaries, these popular noble people, were to be executed so there would be mourning in Jerusalem. That's bad when you have to kill other people to get someone to cry for you, which they weren't crying for him. But that wasn't his worst deed. You see, he was the Grinch. When the wise men came and they talked to Herod, and they were like, "Where is this king that is going to be born? We're following the star. We don't know where to go. Where does the scriptures teach?" And they said, well, the Micah the prophet said the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Bethlehem was about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It was located on a ridge. It was about 2,000 feet altitude. We think that's where he's supposed to go. And so King Herod said, "Oh, listen, guys, I want you to go look for him. And when you find him, please let me know because I want to go worship him." Did he want to worship him? No. You see, he knew that that baby was a king and what would happen to him as a king if another king was in his kingdom. Well, he had a problem. He didn't know where he was. God warned the Magi not to go back to him. And so he knew there was a king born in Bethlehem, but he didn't know who it was or where he was. So his worst deed was the fact that he killed all the boys 2 years and under. Because why? That would have been approximately when the Messiah would have been born in Bethlehem. So to secure his kingdom, the Grinch, trying to destroy Christmas, Christ, executed all these innocent kids. Which, when I read about this, that was a common practice in that day. You get rid of the future king if you kill all the boys in that area. And I thought about that. And I thought about what a despicable person he was. But the thing that impressed me was these guys. They traveled many miles to worship and find this king. They went and dealt with Herod, the vicious guy. They had one purpose, and one purpose alone. It was to worship. You see, one of the problems we need to understand about following Christ, that if we're not careful, there will be other things come into our lives that will keep us from worshiping the Son of God. Oh, it's subtle things many times. Things that we would never dream that would keep us from going and finding Him. I mean, just think about it. What if it would have snowed last night? Mary was worried, and Sheila was worried, and Bill was worried. What if it snows? We can't have it a children's musical because no one will what? Show up. Now, here's the funny thing. I guarantee you go outside. You'll play in the snow. Doesn't hinder you too much from doing that, does it? And then the thing I want you to see at Christmas, it's not about going to a musical or a kids program. The whole point is to worship the King. And these magis, these intelligent guys, they traveled many miles. They were not believers. They were trying to find the truth. And they did everything possible to worship the King. Here's what I know. The Grinch doesn't want you to worship. Or he wants you to worship with wrong motives. A.W. Tozer said this, and this is true. Listen to this. Without worship, we go about miserable. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you were created to worship. If you don't worship, that's why a sermon can be so bad, a church service can be so bad. If you're going to listen to me or just sing songs, you're not going to be blessed. But if you come to this place, and in spite of me, and in spite of it being an hour of your time, if you came to this place realizing that this is the King of Kings, that you're here to worship Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. Listen, I've watched it in the lives of people all my life. I watched it on my life. When you're determined to worship because you love Him, church changes. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. You begin to understand this is all right. Listen, you'll go in the rain. They've done studies, 20% in attendance goes down when it rains. That's sad. Psalm 84:10 says this, and I love this. It says, "Better is one day in the courts than a thousand elsewhere." In other words, when you get it, when you understand that it's worship, it's love, it's praise for your Savior Jesus Christ, church changes. My question for you this morning is, Are you determined to worship? Are you here because you want to be here? Are you just here out of habit? Are you determined to worship the King? You'll find Christmas is better when you go and you worship the King. When you understand it's about a King. And when you come to church and you sing praises because you love Him. My question is, are you determined to worship? There's a second thing. Don't allow the Grinch to steal your Christmas. It is so easy during the Christmas time to let other things keep you from the joy of Christmas. I call it the Grinch. I fight it every year. My personality is positive on the outside, negative on the inside. It's so easy to get so tired of things that go on in your life during this season that you allow the Grinch to just steal the joy of what Christmas is all about. Don't let the Grinch steal your Christmas. Herod wanted to kill the Son of God. He wanted to destroy Christmas. And I believe there are many things in your life today that are trying to ruin your enjoyment of this time of the year. I'll give you a personal example. I had to go back at the last moment to Denison on Thursday night to meet with my mom. She has some type of mental disability. We don't know if it's dementia. We don't know if it's Alzheimer's. But I basically had to go back to sit with my mom on Friday while she got interviewed to see if she qualified for her long-term care insurance to kick in. Now, they have to evaluate you to discover. You don't get long-term care insurance by being healthy and feeling good and thinking right. It's there for a reason. So I went to sit with this lady while she asked my mom some questions, trying to determine if she was thinking properly. And I can remember sitting there because there's no telling what my mom might say. I mean, lately she's been telling everybody that John Bryan and Quint look alike, but they're not twins. They look alike because they are twins. But I'm sitting there and I'm listening to her ask my mother these questions about what's 100 minus 7. Some of them got kind of hard for me, but she asked all these questions. But the one that got me, well, she was sitting there. My mom was on the couch, and she was sitting next to my mom. And she asked her the question, what month is it? Now, my mom is looking at the Christmas tree and the Christmas decorations. And she looks at the lady, and she says, April. And you know what? I'm pretty sure she failed the test, which we know she should. But it devastated me. I started thinking about all the things that she said that were incorrect. And then I had to get in the car and drive 4 hours back here with those thoughts of my poor mom who loves me and has taken care of me. And I'm telling you, the Grinch started to ruin my Christmas. But listen, I'm determined he's not going to take Christmas from me any year. You know what I did? I put my AirPods on. I put all my Christmas music on. And I started worshiping my Savior all the way back. I had 4 hours of Christmas music. Not Rudolph, but the stuff about Jesus. Let me tell you what happened. That worship, that being along, that focusing on the baby in the manger and the meaning behind that, it changed me. By the time I got back for a Christmas party, I went from watching my mom fail a mental competency test to going to a Christmas party, but by the time I got there, I was better. Why? Because I realized as soon as I pulled out of that place where my mom lived, I realized the Grinch was trying to take my joy. The Grinch was trying to get my... And here's the way it works, people. I don't know what your Grinch is this morning. Maybe it's you're too busy. Every year I fight the too busy part that tries to get my eyes off Jesus, and maybe you're too busy. Don't let that Grinch win. Maybe it's a person in your life who's threatening to take the real meaning of Christmas. Don't let that happen. Maybe it's a situation in your life. Don't let that situation steal the real meaning of Christmas. Or maybe it's materialism. Don't buy into that lie that you got to have stuff to enjoy Christmas. Don't let any kind of Grinch into your life this year. Listen, this is a time of good news. It's a time of great joy. Identify the Grinch. Here's what I did. I knew I was getting discouraged because of my mom. I identified the Grinch, and then I put my eyes on Jesus. I really did, through music. And I listened to 4 hours straight of music that glorified Jesus. Third thing. The third thing is decide to have joy this Christmas. That sounds so crazy, but decide to have joy. You decide to have gifts, but the best gift you can have for daily life is the joy that only Jesus Christ can give you. Listen to verse 9. It says, "And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed." I believe we shouldn't just sing about joy at Christmas. We should have joy. The angels in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, listen to what they said. "But the angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.'" Christmas is good news. A Savior is born. He said, "We bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You see, Christmas is good news. And it dawned on me. This will be my first Christmas without my dad. That's not good news. But the good news is, I will see him again. You see how it works? There's hope in this child. There is joy because I know that when I die, my sins are forgiven. He is my Savior. He's not just a decoration we put up at Christmas. And the problem is, too many times, we don't understand that the joy is not from the gift. It's from the gift. The real gift. The Savior. When you point your kids, when you point yourself towards the real joy of Christmas, Christmas will have joy. Have you lost your joy? Are you just going through the motions, singing the same old Christmas carols? Have you lost your joy? You're a believer. You know you're saved, but have you lost your joy? Well, here's the good news. In Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, David wrote, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Listen, if you lost your joy, the good news is you can get it back. How? You focus on the joy, Jesus. Don't celebrate Christmas without joy. Now, I know there's difficult circumstances. I know life is hard, but let me tell you what. There's hope in Jesus. That's why you can have joy. There is a future. And then the final thing, don't miss this. Deliver your best gifts to Jesus. And in verse 11 and 12, it says, "On coming to the house." Now, I want you to understand, the Magi have been looking. They've been traveling. It didn't say they came to the stable. They came to a manger. The word in the Greek is literally the word for a house. These guys traveled longer. They came after Christmas. And we are told that they came to the house. And they saw the child. The word in the Greek paida is a word that means not a baby, not a newborn. It is a child 1 to 2 years old. They came to the house, and there's the little boy with his mom, Mary. It says, and they bowed down and worshiped him. When you bow down, that is a picture of submission, of reverence. These intellectuals, these astronomers, these wise men, they come to a house and they find the child and they bow down. That doesn't make sense. Except to them, because they knew he was the king. And then they opened their treasures. We get the three wise men because of the three kinds of gifts, but we don't know how many there were. It says they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense or incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The three gifts. Interesting about these three gifts. First of all, the gold is a gift that you give to a king, which Jesus was a king, even though he was a child. The second gift was frankincense. It was an incense that was used to worship deities. So when they gave incense or frankincense to the child, they were recognizing that he was also a deity, which he was God in the flesh. And then the third gift was that of myrrh. You would give myrrh to someone because it was to be saved and used upon their death. So they came and they gave the child the myrrh because he would be the one who would die for their sins. But here's what I want you to see. If you really get Christmas, you will understand that giving goes with it. Oh, people say, oh, those preachers, they want your money. That's all they talk about is money. Oh, I've heard it. Every time I've ever talked about money, I get an anonymous note, which I just throw away, that says, all you ever want is money. That's all you ever talk about is money. Listen, if you got it together, if you understand what worship is about, you give because you want to. Nobody had to tell those magi to give, did they? They came and gave because they knew who he was. They gave their very best. And that's what worship is. Worship is not attending a service and hearing a good sermon. Worship is coming into the presence of God and leaving a different person and giving him your life. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I got news for you. He didn't want your money. He wants everything. Your life, your time, your money. He wants it all. Why? In view of God's mercy. If you understand His mercy, you understand it's worth it. Giving your body, giving your life, your time. Who determines what you do on Sundays? You or God? But also giving your gifts. Malachi 3:10, the one we hate. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you cannot have enough from it. People think, oh, I'm giving my money. Man, you're giving it to God. And He promises to bless you, not make you, not a health and wealth thing. But when you understand who He is, then you give because you want to. You see, the problem at Christmas is the Grinch. It's not just a TV show. It's situations. It's too much, too busy. It's people. It's wrong priorities. And the truth is, you don't have to let the Grinch steal your Christmas. It's your decision to put your eyes back on what it's all about. Don't let the Grinch win. Don't let the Grinch win. Let's pray.